If you've been listening to the podcast in the past week, you had an opportunity to listen to the Anger Management series. This is also a replay of their live coaching call that we had this past Friday at the end of the boot camp. In this live coaching call, you have a chance to listen to me answer some questions to moms that submitted them and showed up to the live coaching calls. We answered questions like, what if you are not a morning person, but you know it's good for you to get up in the morning before your family? How to reduce overstimulation with 5 kids, especially in the evenings? How to get past the negative mindset that your anger is ruining your kids for life and have hope for the future? How to respond in helpful ways when you're being ignored by your kids? And what to do when you have no time to process emotions? And I also walk you through my coaching program, what is included, and the bonuses that you get if you enroll in the next week. They are big bonuses that I haven't offered before, and I am super excited to be able to support you in that way. Tune in and listen to this live replay.
Welcome. I am so happy that you are here, and I'm so excited to share with you a little bit about my coaching program and as well answer your questions. So first, before we go into the live Q&A, I want to do a short recap of this week, what we learned. And so in day one, we learned about the root of anger, like what is underneath anger and how anger has so many different layers. And anger is a secondary emotion. It's telling you something. It's a messenger that something is going on and it needs to be addressed. Anger doesn't mean that you're a bad person, that something is wrong with you. Anger is just telling you something is going on. And instead of asking yourself, what's wrong with me? Why do I feel angry? Because that is a really actually shameful question that doesn't help you figure things out, then you think something is actually wrong with you for feeling angry. You need to ask yourself, I wonder what's going on with me and what do I need to help myself feel better? And so that is something that I work with my clients when they feel angry, to be able to recognize as their anger is building up before they get to the rage, and then understand what is leading up to that and what do I need to help myself feel better. There's a difference between what do I want and what do I need. Maybe I want to scroll on my phone. Maybe I want to have a drink of alcohol, right? Because I feel so angry and frustrated. Maybe I want to do some shopping online to make myself feel better. Maybe I want to say something nasty or whatever to my spouse or the kids and something unpleasant. But what do I need, actually need, to help myself feel better? And oftentimes it's like, I need a little break to walk away and communicate with my family. I need to just step outside and get some fresh air. I need to get some water. I need to grab a snack. I need to let go of some of the things that I created on my to-do list that I won't be able to get done. I need to brain dump and write things down so everything is not swirling in my head. I need to ask for help. So there's a difference between what we need and what we want. And so in day one, I taught you how anger is a secondary emotion and something is always underneath that. Sometimes it's like fear. We're afraid of, for example, like our kids are running across the street, right? And then you tell them to stop and they keep running. And then you feel so angry when you get to them. Well, the anger is a secondary emotion. Underneath is that fear of your child getting hurt, right? And so always trying to reflect kind of like, what is going on with me? Why did I feel angry and what led up to it? That can be super, super helpful. In day two, we talked about expanding your emotional capacity. And when you are running and empty, when you're feeling depleted, when your needs are unmet, you will feel more reactive. We all have our limit, how much we can tolerate. If you are an extrovert and if you are not a highly sensitive person, you typically will have a lot more tolerance for maybe a little bit more chaos, a little bit more noise, being around your kids all day. Like my mom, she has 6 kids. And my mom is an extrovert, and she is sensitive in the sense like she feels things deeply, but she doesn't, she's not somebody who gets overstimulated quickly. And so she is totally fine with having lots of things in her house. She feels totally fine with lots of grandkids running around. She loves that. It actually fulfills her. For me, she loves hosting, but for me, those things actually drain me and help like lead me to feel depleted. So recognizing, are you an introvert and extrovert? And what do I need to support myself? I know one of the things that many moms actually emailed me back and said, I feel guilty for taking time for myself. And I know I used to do that too. I used to feel guilty, and I had to make that shift in my perspective. Like, who is benefiting from me not taking time for myself? I am reactive. My husband doesn't really like my attitude, doesn't really want to be around me. My kids really don't like me because I am just raising my voice and barking orders at everybody and having an unpleasant tone. And what do I need to help myself feel better and replenish? And it will be different things for different people. Like for me, having like an exercise video or going to like a intensity workout class is definitely something that will not make me feel better. But going on a walk by myself is definitely like fulfilling, and it's going to help me feel better. And so everybody has different things. Sometimes it's getting together with a friend. Sometimes it's going to Target by yourself. Sometimes it's just journaling. And especially if you're an introvert, you will notice that you will need regular alone time to replenish yourself. It's not just like once a week. It's a regular thing that you want to create daily, if not every other day. And my favorite part is to do it in the mornings. That's my favorite time to like have alone time. I try to get up an hour before my family. I am in a season where my kids do sleep through the night. My youngest one does. I know it may be tricky when you have little ones, but even if you have a little one, maybe 15 minutes before your family, just getting up when the house is still quiet and just getting a little bit ahead of your day, even like literally making yourself some coffee and going to the bathroom by yourself without anybody pulling and tugging at you. Even that sometimes helps us feel better. Or right now it's really nice outside and it's getting warmer outside in most places. And I remember in Florida, it's actually getting really hot and gross. But in Minnesota, when I lived with our family there, what I did was I would get up before my kids in the morning and I would make myself some breakfast and coffee. And I would go sit at the front on the front porch. And just because it would be like in the 70s and or even 60s, and I would just wear my robe and just listen to the birds and just be present and get a little bit of fresh air. And that helped me increase my capacity levels so much. And the other thing is, if you haven't listened to my older episodes, turning off your phone notifications is so game changing in order to have more capacity. That overstimulation is massive from our phone, all those notifications. So when you turn off the notifications and get up before your kids in the morning, I will tell you, like, that will increase your capacity massively. Obviously, there's other things, but those two were so, so game changing for me.
Are you hungry?
Yeah.
Okay. Why don't you?
Okay. And then in day three, we learned about our mindset and the difference between negative mindset and empowering mindset and how we all have negative thoughts. And most of our thoughts are negative. We have 60,000 thoughts a day. 80% of them are negative, if not more, and 95% of them are repetitive. So over and over, you think a lot of negative thoughts. Oh, of course they're doing this to me. They never listen. My husband always does this. Of course this is happening. And so all these negative thoughts, how are they helping you show up as the mom that you want to show up? They're not. They're just contributing to you feeling more frustrated and more overwhelmed. Like, my kids are doing this to me. They're making my day hard. He's crying on purpose. He's not letting me sleep because he's crying in the middle of the night. Well, is that actually truth? It's not. Your baby's just having a hard time, and the baby's calling for you because the baby's comforted by you, right? And so this is your chance to come and hold your baby and comfort your baby. I've shared on the podcast before that I'm not really triggered by my toddler's meltdowns. I have a daughter, who's almost 3 years old, she has a meltdown every single day. She's three. That's what toddlers do. When they don't get their way, they have this big frustrating feeling that just takes over their little body and they throw a tantrum. And my job is to be calm in the storm for her and to teach her how to manage those big feelings instead of just shutting her down. Because oftentimes we're telling them what not to do, but we don't tell them what to do instead. So this is my chance to help her through it. This is my chance to remain calm and practice my patience. How are you going to become a patient mom if you don't have opportunities to practice it? I tell you, our kids give us so many opportunities to practice, to be patient, don't they? So our thoughts, they lead to our feelings, how we feel in the circumstance, and they lead to our actions. If you have negative thoughts, you're going to have negative feelings of frustration, anger, feeling defeated, feeling helpless, feeling powerless, and that's going to lead to negative actions. Have you ever had a negative thought and had a positive action? It almost never happens. So if you want to have better actions, it needs to go back to your mindset, shifting your mindset and choosing empowering thoughts. And I teach you how to do that in my coaching program. And then in day four, we talked about breaking generational anger. One of my first clients that you heard on the podcast episode, her name is Brittany. She came into my coaching program when I first released this specific coaching program because she struggled with generational anger. Her grandma had it, her aunt had it, and I believe her dad had anger problems. And she was very similar to the way that her grandma was. And her family even made comments about how she's angry all the time. Look, she's about to blow up. Look, it's bothering her and she's going to explode. And she would even describe herself as loud and aggressive when she entered my coaching program. When you enter my coaching program, one of the things I have you do is reflect on who you think you are right now. And she described herself as loud and aggressive and reactive. And it was so transformational to see how God worked in her heart and how he was able to shift her mindset and perspective. And by the end of working together, she completely shifted in how she was responding with her husband, with her kids, how she was communicating. One of the things that she struggled a lot with was her kids lying to her because they were afraid of her angry reactions. They would not come to her when they were having a hard time. They would pull back. And when she would confront them for something, they would lie to her because they did not want to face her wrathful, angry reactions. And that was a massive shift. Towards the end of the coaching program, her girls felt so much more comfortable coming to her and they would tell her the truth, even when they felt a little scared because they felt safe enough that she's not going to blow up and scream and yell at them. And so one of the things that I want you to understand that oftentimes when it comes to generational anger, we repeat patterns and even phrases and words that our parents said, and we pass that on. Like we catch ourselves saying phrases that our parents said that we thought we would never say. I don't know if you relate to that. If you do, say in the chat, yes, I relate to that, where your parents said certain phrases and you're like, oh, I'm never going to say that. And then later on, you feel so frustrated with your kids. Yes, Nicole, you say those things and you're like, why did I say that? That was so unhelpful. Yeah, ladies. Yeah, you relate to that. And so that's why we need to break those patterns and create new patterns, because if we don't, our kids will say the same things to each other and to their children. Another one of my clients right now is she came into my coaching program because she had like a breaking point where her kids started to, he wrote a note, something about his mom hating him and not liking him and writing and like wrote down like the negative things that she would say to him. And that was like her kind of like eye-opening moment to be like, oh my goodness, what am I doing? How are my relationships unfolding with my children? If they think these things about themselves, and that's because I say those things to them when I feel mad. And when we started working together, what unfolded was that her parents were saying that to her when she was a kid. And one of the things was like, I don't have time for you. I don't have even like, she was taught that that emotions are a waste of time. And they do take a lot of time, right? But if you constantly stuff them, they're going to come out in unhealthy ways. Eventually, it either leads to an explosion that is hurtful and damaging, or it turns it into mental health struggles. And one of my friends says she's not all depression and anxiety, obviously, but she said she's a psychologist, and she says, I truly believe that a lot of depression and anxiety oftentimes is from unprocessed emotions that were not allowed to be processed in a healthy way. And they were just stuffed. And then it just, you turn it inward on yourself with a lot of negative self-talk. So it is so important to teach our kids how to deal with their emotions, because they deal with them every single day. You can't just tell them, oh, do this, and then you do the opposite. You need to model that to them, because they will literally repeat what you say and what you do, those phrases. So that is my recap of my boot camp. Can you please tell me which one was your favorite day? Day one, understanding the root of anger. Day two, about taking care of yourself, increasing your capacity. Day three, about mindset, from negative to empowered. Or day four, about generational anger and breaking those cycles. I would love to hear your responses. What was your favorite day? Nicole, day four. I love that. Yes. Day three and four. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jeannie. I think, like, for me, my favorite one is mindset. I have started to learn so much more about mindset in the last probably like year. I've learned so much more about mindset. Samantha says day two and four. Yeah. And just how our thoughts affect the way that we handle situations. Like, if my daughter right now wasn't sleeping and she was screaming and not cooperating, my first initial thought would be, she won't let me do this live. She, of course, this is happening as she's interrupting me and doing what I think is important in the moment. And those are my first automatic negative thoughts. And I feel frustrated when I think those thoughts, right? I feel frustrated. I feel powerless in the circumstance. I feel defeated, versus thinking, like, this isn't to upset me. She's just having a hard time and I can do something about it. I can pause and do something about it. And yeah, I would have to pause here and walk away for a few minutes and probably attend her, probably grab a tablet, lock the screen with some cartoons and put it in the crib just so I could finish it. Is that ideal? Is that what I want? No, but I'm choosing to adapt because I decided that I am an adaptive mom. And that is what I'm going to do to feel empowered in the circumstance instead of fight the reality. What is happening is what is meant to happen. It is what it is. And if you try to fight the circumstances, you get more frustrated. But if you try to adapt to the circumstances, you feel empowered. So is it Lara? Is that how you say your first name? Bless you. I am so grateful to find you. The negative thoughts episode was really spoke to me. Yes. Yes. Jennifer says, can you talk about what we can do to not get exasperated with the same behaviors over and over again by our kids? For example, an 8-year-old whining, where I just go from 0 to 60 in a second and snap because I am frustrated with the constant XYZ, and then snap instead of being kind. So one of the things you said, that same behavior over and over again. So with my kids, when it comes to whining, I will tell my kids, like, I don't understand what you're saying. Try again. And this is how you can ask me. Try to ask me kindly. I don't understand when you whine. So that's something that I will do. And then another helpful thing is to teach them outside of the moment what to do instead. Because if we tell them constantly, stop whining, don't whine. The thing is, we're not teaching them what to do. And when someone is already whining, they are feeling dysregulated and they are in their emotional part of the brain. So in the moment, it's really hard to teach our kids because nothing really sticks. So in the moment, I will tell my daughter, like my 3-year-old, who obviously whines all the time when she wants something, I say, try again. Say, mommy, can I please have blank? you know, can I please have a banana or whatever she's asking for, instead of just crying. And then when I walk her through it, she actually asks in the way that I'm modeling it to her. So with my older kids, I just say, hey, I don't understand what you're trying to say. Can you please try again? Giving them an opportunity to try again and having kind of like a plan what you will do ahead of time is really helpful. So what sometimes in the heat of the moment, when we feel triggered, our thinking brain is offline and we react in old ways that we have been. And so we need to create a plan ahead of time. What am I going to do differently to respond in a way that I am proud of? So if in my program, in the beginning of the program, we choose what kind of mom you want to be. Do you want to be compassionate? Do you want to be empathetic? Do you want to be loving, kind, patient, calm, lighthearted, playful? What kind of mom do you want to be? And then out of that, we create a scenario of how you want to respond as that mom. And if you're a lighthearted mom, you could say, hey, I don't think my ears understand what you were trying to say. Can you please try again? And in a lighthearted way. And so with my kids, that is what I do. When they are having a moment like that, I say, hey, I don't understand what you're trying to say. Please try again with my older kids. With my daughter, I say, like, please tell mommy what you want in a better way. And so, and then I will walk her through how I want her to say. Let's see here. Samantha says, dealing with the same thing with my 10-year-old. Lara says, I'm a single mom moving into a new house over the past several days, taking littles to school, working, and beyond the breaking point. Oh, I'm so sorry. That does feel really stressful and definitely can feel really overwhelming. And when you reach your capacity, because we all have a breaking limit, and anything extra on top of that feels like too much, and we feel really, really frustrated and feel really, really overwhelmed and can reach our breaking point. Lara, if you can ask anyone for help to help with your family, I don't know if you have your sisters, your mom, I don't know if you have any relationship with your mother-in-law, a friend, somebody who is a safe person in your circle to help you, because you could try to do it all yourself, and at what cost, right? At a cost of your mental and emotional well-being and physical well-being, or we can ask for help and make things a little bit lighter for ourselves. And I know we have a whole lesson in my program on about asking for help, because that's a big one that so many mamas have a really hard time. They feel like they need to do it all in order to stay strong, to prove something to somebody that I can do it all. But asking for help is a huge one. So before I answer any more of your questions, I want to share with you about my coaching program to those of you who are interested in taking the next step and working together with me. I will take maybe 5 minutes. I'll walk you through my coaching program and then answer any questions that come up about my coaching program. And then I will answer any other questions. I have a couple questions that were submitted, and then I can answer any more questions that come up over here. All right. So I'm going to walk you through my coaching program here. I have a coaching program called Calm Christian Mom. It's a 12-week coaching program that will empower you to break harmful anger patterns, cultivate peace in your home, and transform you into an emotionally stable, patient, and calm mom. And here are the four main things that we work on in my coaching program. We identify the root cause of your anger triggers. Why are you feeling angry to begin with? If you remember in day one, I talked a lot about what's underneath anger. There's so many different things. It's not just one thing. Sometimes it's what people do. Sometimes it's what people say. Sometimes it's unprocessed emotions. Like, what is going on underneath your anger and triggers? Then in second thing that we work on is implementing proactive support to minimize controllable stressors. So this one is a huge one. Actually, this one, you go from several weeks. You are working on proactively lowering your stress levels on things that only you can control in your life. And that is like some of your habits, like asking for help. Like if you have a really cluttered home, things like that, things that you can do something about that will lower your stress levels. Like if you're always constantly rushing from one place to another and things like that, that you can do something about, because we can't control other people, we can only control ourselves. And so proactively lowering your stress levels and calming your nervous system so you are not running your day at an 8 out of 10. You are running your day and majority of your nervous system is like a 1 or a 2 out of 10. So there's so much more capacity throughout the day when things aren't necessarily going as planned. And so in the third section of my program, we work on developing healthy emotional processing strategies and anger management tools. So this is where you learn about how to manage your emotions in like proactively, how to process and release your emotions when you just have hard things going on in your life. And how do you handle anger in the moment? How to recognize when you're starting to feel angry? What do you do to help yourself? How do you calm your nervous system down? All the things that will help you to deal with anger specifically. And then in the fourth section, we learn all about mindset. As you already learned in day 3 in the coaching program, I will teach you so much about mindset, how to shift your perspective from negative automatic thoughts to empowering thoughts that are supportive and help you feel empowered in the circumstance. And as we're working through this, this is a faith-based program. I do have reflection questions for you with each lesson that you journal through. And we invite God and the Holy Spirit into it. I pray over you every coaching session and throughout the week. So we're not just trying to do this all on our own strength. Yes, there's things that only you can do, but we are also inviting God into the process and not trying to do everything on our own strength. So this goes a little bit more into depth. What we're working through is understanding what happens in your brain when you experience emotions, how to be aware of your triggers and proactively lowering your stress levels, proactive regulation of the nervous system to increase tolerance levels, processing and releasing negative emotions in a healthy way instead of taking it out on your family or suppressing them or numbing them, how to remain calm in triggering moments instead of reacting in anger, how to take your thoughts captive and shifting from negative to empowering thoughts, how to remain calm and regulated when your kids are having big emotions, and even your spouse, when they're having an emotion of frustration and anger, how do you support your children? How do you not get pulled and sucked into that? Because then there's our feelings and then there's our children's feelings and the feelings of others around us, right? And then how do you overcome mom guilt, negative self-talk, and shame that comes with reacting and maybe saying and doing hurtful things when you feel angry. So this is how your life is going to change in 12 weeks of working together. You'll be able to learn how to cope with stress and anger and overwhelm in a healthy way. You will feel more peaceful, calm, and stable and empowered as a mom. You will enjoy being a mom and feel proud of the way that you show up for your family. You will know exactly what is contributing to your triggers and how to manage them. You will have a closer and safer relationship with your spouse and your kids. You will believe and truly know that you are the best mom for your kids. Because if you have a lot of negative self-talk, maybe you're telling yourself, I'm not a good enough mom. My kids would be better off without me. I'm failing at this. And that is not helping you grow in the mom that you want to become. You'll be able to communicate your tough emotions and needs effectively with your loved ones. And you'll be able to model Christ and leave an emotionally healthy legacy for your kids. So what is included in my coaching program is pre-recorded step-by-step trainings and reflection questions. So you will get an email later this week or next week where you'll have a little like 5-minute walkthrough of my course or program, how it looks behind the scenes, and you'll be able to see how the lessons look and the outlines of them. But you get a video training, like maybe about 4 to 5 video trainings every week that are about 10 minutes long. And then with each video training, there are reflection questions that you download or you can just open up and you reflect in actually a journal that I send you in the mail and you answer your questions there. So you get weekly live group coaching calls that are 60 to 90 minutes. You also get 3 individual one-on-one 60-minute calls. So once a month, you'll be able to get a call with me one-on-one where we work specifically with the issues that you're struggling with. And then for 12 weeks, you get access to me Monday through Friday through Voxer for accountability and individual questions. So Voxer is an app that you download on your phone It's a walkie-talkie app. You can also text message on there and send pictures on there. And so this is where you get access to me Monday through Friday. And I actually check in with you like 3 to 4 times a week, see how you're doing. And you have any questions that come up, that's where you submit your homework assignments to me for accountability. And then you also get lifetime access to my coaching program. And whenever I have an upgraded version, you'll get access to that. If you choose to enroll in my coaching program in the next week and book a consultation call and enroll, you also get several bonuses. One of them is a stress relief package in the mail that I send you with a book and a journal and candle and bath salts and just pens and body butter and just essential oil, something to support you on this journey. You also get 2 check-in calls with me at 3 and 6 months after you're done with the coaching program, one-on-one calls where I check in with you, how you're doing, answer any questions, things that you're struggling with at that time. You also get a mommy mindset course by Tessa Romero. So Tessa Romero is my personal coach. If you've listened to my podcast, I've mentioned her there multiple times. She is a mindset coach for moms, and I absolutely love her content. And she has this course that she released last fall called Mommy Mindset, and it is so good. I've learned so much from it, and I just think it will help you so much that I just cannot just not give it to you, because I think it's so good. So that is a gift for you too when you enroll in my coaching program. Once you're done, I gift that to you. And then the other one is, this is a huge one that I have never done before, is you get 4 additional weeks of group coaching calls and one-on-one Monday through Friday Voxer support for another week, for another month, I guess. So it will be 12 weeks and then additional 4 weeks of group coaching calls and one-on-one access to me via Voxer. So you'll get 16 weeks of coaching instead of 12 working with me. So how your transformation is guaranteed. So this is one of my favorite things, is that if you ever bought passive courses, like maybe like $100, $200 course and never completed it, you're not alone, because only about 2% of people actually complete passive courses and implement what they learn in there. And then less than 0.5% of people that read a book implement the knowledge that they have learned in it. But when you work with a coach that offers you so much support and accountability, your success rate goes to 95%. And the reason is because in my program, I have a step-by-step process for you. Every week, you have a specific thing that you're working on, and it's not just a bunch of things at once. You have weekly coaching calls to make sure you're staying on track and you get the support that you need. You have access to me Monday through Friday for individual questions and accountability. And I'm not just waiting for you to reach out to me. I reach out to you like 3 to 4 mornings a week and ask you how you're doing, to submit your homework assignments, how are things going? I check in with you, and your job is to respond to me several times a week. You have required homework reflection questions that you have to submit to me every week. So once you're done with your reflection questions, you take a picture and you send it to me via Voxer. That's how I keep you accountable. And then you have the supportive environment surrounded by other moms that are working on this. So my program is 100% money back guarantee. So if you show up and you do the work and you put honest efforts and you watch the trainings, you do the homework assignments, you show up to the live calls and you take action on what I teach you, and you check in with me 3 times a week via Voxer, and if you don't reach the goals that you set for yourself in the beginning of the coaching program, I will give you a full refund at 12 weeks. And we sign a contract on that. So that is just so you feel more safe investing into my coaching program. So the length is 12 weeks long. And if you enroll in the next week, you get an extra 4 weeks, which is amazing and awesome. And I would be so happy to support you. The commitment with how much you need to do with homework every day, I would say 20 to 30 minutes, not more than that. Some moms just like to listen to video trainings when they're multitasking and doing something, and then they do reflection questions at another time. Others just do it all at once, one lesson per day. And then you get the weekly coaching calls. So what you can expect from me is to respond to your Voxer messages Monday through Friday within a couple hours, check in with you 4 to 5 times a week for accountability, weekly coaching calls, We have right now they're on Thursdays at 1 p.m. and Thursdays at 7:30 p.m. Eastern time. And then you get three individual 60-minute calls. I pray over you every coaching call. I encourage you. I support you. Keep you accountable and answer any questions that come up. And you can expect commitment on my end. So the investment for my coaching program is $3,000. Or if you want to make monthly payments, it is $1,100. And if you want to choose a financing program, I partner with FlexFi, where you can take out a personal loan. And then your monthly payments would be around $150 a month, choosing in which plan that you choose. So that is more accessible for you that if you want a lower monthly payment. So maybe you're thinking, oh my gosh, the investment is so much. And I understand. I've been there. I've had those thoughts myself when I would listen to other programs. But I want to ask you, what is the cost of staying where you are at right now? What is it costing you? Chances are it's your relationship with your loved ones. And what are your relationships going to look like 5 years from today if nothing changes? I want you to know that investing in yourself is investing into your kids, because as a mom, chances are you spend the most time with them and you are their biggest influence. If you want to seek significant mindset shifts and breaking old patterns and experiencing a genuine transformation in your life, it is absolutely essential for you to invest your energy and time and money into it. Because when we invest financially, we have skin in the game. Because I used to have a course for $100. And it had a lot of some of the similar content that I teach now, not as in depth, but what I've noticed is that moms would buy it. But I think maybe one mom actually finished it and did the whole thing. Most of them would watch a few lessons and they just wouldn't finish it because life gets in the way and things come up. But when you have accountability and you have to submit your homework assignments, someone's checking in with you regularly, you just have a completely different way that you handle it. It's like doing free YouTube videos or a gym membership for $20 a month or working with a personal trainer that you meet with every single week. Where are you going to see transformation? Where are you more likely to show up and do the work? Obviously, with a personal trainer where somebody checks in with you and you have to tell them what you're eating and what you're doing and how you're working out, and they like spend some time with you regularly. My friend, I just want to let you know that we come up with money for things that matter to us. If we want to go on vacation with our kids, we come up with money. If we want to throw a big birthday party for our kids, we come up with money. We come up with money for things that truly matter to us. Last summer, our neighbors were selling a dog and a Pomeranian. And it was a white little Pomeranian. He ended up changing colors after we got him. But the cost was $2,000. And that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. And I really wanted a cute little white dog. And we came up with the money in 2 weeks. We came up with the money because we found things to sell around the house. My kids did a bunch of lemonade stands and they had a sign that says saving for a puppy. Like they got hundreds of dollars through a lemonade stand. We found a jar of a bunch of change that we took to the bank that was also hundreds of dollars. Like we came up with the money. We got creative. And if this is something that you truly feel like is the next right step for you, you will come up with the money. And because I know that you are creative enough to do that. Okay. So the next one is maybe you're thinking, well, this might not work for me. I don't know. Maybe this program is not going to work for me. That's a huge one that moms come up with. And I want to ask you to challenge your negative thought. What if this does work and it truly changes your life in the best possible way? What if the results that you get are so amazing, you didn't even know that you could be the kind of mom that you have become? And I also want to remind you that my program is 100% money back guarantee. If you do the work and you show up on your end, and you commit and you don't see the results, I'm more than happy to give you a refund. But I have not had the need to do that because every mom that has been through my coaching program has not needed that. And then maybe you're thinking I can do this by myself. Well, How has it been working for you so far? That's my question. Knowing what to do and actually doing what you know is two different things. You see changes in your life when you take action and you implement the things that you are learning. And also, success rate with coaching programs where you have so much accountability, it goes up to 95% versus doing it by yourself. And if you have a hard time getting your husband on board, which I relate with that because the first time I wanted to invest in a course, my husband said no. That was his first reaction because he didn't know anything about it. And I cried a little bit for a while about it. And then I thought, you know what? I am an action-taking, problem-solving woman. What can I do to come up with the money for it? And I did come up with the money for it. I sold some things around the house. But I want to challenge you that most husbands would love to see their wives happy, lighthearted, calm, and less angry. And the work that you do in this program, the cool thing is it doesn't just affect your motherhood. It's impossible to affect just your motherhood. It will directly spill into your relationships, like with your husband and others around you. And other people are going to notice positive changes in your life. So I have a few more slides here. I want to share with you some client wins. So Leah is a mom that recently started working with me, and she's not done with the program yet. And she said, working with Elizabeth is like working with a highly skilled and highly trained friend that comes along and coaches you through areas that you are very weak in. She challenges you to put things into practice, and it's been such a blessing working together. Leah struggles a lot with negative mindset. And that's a huge thing that we're working through, is having an empowering mindset. And she is a stay-at-home mom that homeschools three children. So I'm personally not a homeschooling mom, but I do work with homeschooling mamas. Brittany was the one that was my first client that was working with me through this program. She said, before this program, I was loud, reactive, stressed out, and overwhelmed as a mom. Today, I am calmer, more responsive mom who is way better at communicating where I am at and what I need with my family. Megan, she actually finished her 12-week coaching program and signed a contract to work with me for another 12 weeks because she wanted more ongoing support. She just had a baby, her fourth boy. And so she said, I'm 100% happy with the investment. Your program has been such a blessing, and God knew I needed it. The prayers and God's presence really helped me bring peace and the burden of shame to the light. I felt so alone in my struggle, and the support you provide is wonderful. And last one I want to share with you today is Amber. She is a homeschooling mom. She has grown kids, and then she also has a teen that she is homeschooling who is autistic. And there was a lot of conflict and tension between her and her son. And she was feeling really reactive, and that's why she joined my coaching program. And she said, this program has been so life-giving and life-changing. The support and accountability is so good. The tools I've learned and put into practice has helped me so much to show up as the mom I want to be for my homeschooling son. And so she is almost done with the coaching program. I think she has a couple weeks left. And then she will graduate. So, all right, friend, if this is something that you are interested in, if this is something that you feel like God is calling you to do, and it feels aligned with the kind of mom that you want to become, I will put in the link, consultation call booking link, if that's what you want to do. And it will also come into your email as well. So if that is something that you feel like God is calling you to do. So I'm going to answer a couple of questions that came in into Nicole. Actually, your question came in. What can I do if I'm not a morning person? I believe you asked me that question. And it's because we talked about getting up a little bit before your family and having some time to yourself. Yes. Okay. So one of the things is I want you to think about, if you tell your mind, I'm not a morning person, I'm a night owl, I'm not a morning person, I hate getting up in the morning, mornings are so rough for me, I just want to sleep. Do you think that's going to help you become a morning person? Because what we tell our mind is going to look for. So if you tell your mind, oh, I just want to sleep in the mornings, I hate getting up in the mornings, I am not a morning person. I just want to stay up late at night. And maybe that is a tendency that you have developed and that served you for a season in your life. And if that's what you tell your mind, it's going to be really, really hard to shift out of that. And so one of the things that you can change and shift is shift your perspective. I am training myself to become a morning person. Being a morning person serves me so well. I get up before my family so I can increase my capacity and show up as a better mom for my family. And shifting those thoughts and actually journaling through that is going to help you redirect your thoughts. And the last thought that you have before you fall asleep is the first thought that you have in the morning. So if you wake, go to sleep and you're like, oh, I feel so tired. I'm going to feel so tired tomorrow morning. It's going to be really hard to get up tomorrow morning. Versus the last thought that you choose to think, like, I can't wait to get up tomorrow morning and have some time to myself and read the Bible and have breakfast in peace and silence and show up as the mom that I want to be tomorrow. Like, I have enough sleep that I need for the night. Do you think that's going to be easier to get up in the morning, the next morning? It will be, actually, because I've done that. And I just want to share with you, I'm not naturally a morning person. I just like to sleep, period. I like to go to sleep in the evening. I don't stay up super late. And I like to sleep in the morning. And I've learned that it does not serve me well. So you can grow and become a different, like, morning person. You can grow and become a morning person. That is something that you can do. You can make that shift in your mind. And one of the things that helps me is to reflect. Well, let's say I get up right now with my kids at the last minute. And how is that serving me? Is it helping me throughout the day? Do I feel behind on the day? Do I feel more reactive? Like, the way things are right now, are they supporting me? Are they serving me? Chances are is that they're not. So maybe you're not naturally a morning person. And you can choose to make those shifts because you see the benefits of how that is going to serve you. And that starts with getting, you know, the night routine and maybe going to sleep a little bit earlier, asking, I don't know if you're married, but asking your husband to help with the kids in the night routine, be like, hey, I want to get up a little bit earlier in the mornings and I need some help in the evening to put the kids to sleep earlier. Or can you take over with them after 9 p.m. so I can go to sleep earlier so I can get up in the morning, have some time to myself and have more capacity throughout the day. So, because I can tell you the one habit that shifted massively for me in the way that I showed up as a mom was getting up an hour before my family. That is the one thing that if I had to choose out of, like, yes, mindset stuff is important. Yes, like a lot of other things that are super important. But if I could pick one habit that I noticed a huge change in the way that I felt emotionally throughout the day and capacity levels, it was getting up before my family in the morning. Instead of feeling reactive and like I'm behind in the day, I feel like I'm ahead of my life and ahead of my day. And I just don't feel like I'm just running, trying to chase time. I feel like I'm ahead of time. So I hope that's a little helpful for you. I had another one that someone asked about. I know I talked about overstimulation. A huge one is if you have some alone time in the morning and if you turn off your phone notifications and just leave like text messages only leave them for like emergency contacts, everyone else just on silent, that nothing even shows up on your, like, so you don't even have anything on your home screen. That's just a screensaver for me. That you don't even have anything on your home screen. Like, no dings, nothing. Like, no social media, nothing. Delete social media off your phone and turn off your phone notifications and get up an hour before your kids. Your patience is next level. I'm not even kidding. Like, you will notice a massive, massive shift. And then the other question I wanted to answer is how... Anna submitted that. How do I deal with being ignored and repeating myself over and over again and not being listened to? Because that's obviously really triggering for anybody. I feel triggered too when I repeat myself over and over again. My kids are not listening. So when that happens, let's say I tell my kids to do something. They're watching TV and I tell them to turn them off and do chores and they're not listening. And they said again, and they're not listening because that's a common thing. So one of them is I have an expectation in my mind. I shifted my expectations to I need to say things only one time, because the truth is you almost never say things one time to kids. they are learning and you need to say things over and over again. So I shifted the expectation in my mind that I am willing to repeat myself. When my kids are not listening from the first time, I am willing to repeat myself. Because if my expectation in my head is they need to listen from the first time I tell them to do something, and they, well, let's say I have that expectation. Awesome. Great. Maybe I communicated that with my kids. Well, what happens if they don't? Then what? What do I expect myself to do in that moment? Yell, scream, react. Well, I shifted my expectation in my mind that I am willing to repeat myself. So when my kids don't listen right away, I tell myself, I'm willing to repeat myself. What I'm doing isn't work. And after, like, say a couple times, I'm like, what I'm doing isn't working. I need to do something different. That's what I tell my mind. So I will come up to my kids and say, hey, I asked you to turn off the TV. Are you going to do it, or do you need my help to do it? I literally just come up to them. Like, if they're not listening to me, I just take the remote and I turn it off. Or I take the iPad and I lock the screen and I close it. If my kids, I say, hey, it's time to get to do the chores around the house, and they're just running around and chasing each other, and I will physically stop them. I will look into their eyes and say, it's time to do chores around the house. Are you going to start them on your own, or do you need me to help you with it? Because oftentimes, the kids, they have a hard time initiating a task. And once we initiate it with them, they are more likely to carry it forward and get it done. So that is a trick that I do with my kids. But it is really frustrating when you feel ignored by your children. And so coming up to them face to face, getting some eye contact, having your hand on their shoulder, they are a lot more likely to cooperate. Another one that I saw somewhere that was helpful for me is like gently guiding them into the direction that they need to go. Like, I know you really want to play with toys right now. This is so fun. And it's time to go and brush your teeth right now. So I'm going to help you get up, and then you gently guide their body towards the bathroom. Like, you're guiding them into the direction that they need to go. If you can't do it yourself, I will help you do it. Because it still needs to get done. As a mom, you're still in charge. And if they don't want to do it, you're going to help them do it. And with my kids, I'm like, are you going to do this on your own, or do you need me to help you do it? Chances are, unless it's like a chore or something, they want to be in control. And so they will tell you, I'll do it on my own. And so that's just kind of almost like a trick to get them to do what you want them to do. And so in my mind, I tell myself I'm willing to repeat myself. And then when I say what I'm doing isn't working and I need to do something different, what can I do differently to get my kids to do what needs to be done? And if in the beginning of the program, you choose what kind of mom you want to be. So if you choose to be creative and lighthearted and compassionate or empathetic, so what would a lighthearted mom do in that moment? How would she respond? And we walk through those scenarios together, and we create a plan of what you're going to do ahead of time. So when that moment comes, your brain already knows what to do, because oftentimes when you feel triggered, it's really hard to think of something creative in the moment. And so that's why we do things proactively, to help your brain create a new pathway of what to do differently. There's a book that I send you in the mail in the gift package, and it's called Triggers by Wendy Speak and Amber Leah. And they have this phrase in there: figure out what you mean to say before you say something mean. So ahead of time, figure out what you're going to do. How are you going to respond? What are you going to say to your kids in those challenging moments that happen over and over again before you say something mean to them? So that is my answer to that question. If any of you want to either unmute yourself and ask me a question, I'm more than happy to do that.
This is Laura.
Go for it.
You did say my name right. I would probably start crying right now if I were not so tired from all of this moving, but it's a new chapter for us. Mm-hmm. I have a 7 and a 5-year-old boy. They are super awesome, very energetic, strong-willed. And I have so appreciated your candor and sharing, you know, being rough and yelling. I am fighting generational anger, but I'm just worried, is this going to help if they already are rough and yell back? So have I already ruined things? Mm-hmm. How are we going to turn this around? Do you have some experience there? And then I just have been realizing and listening to all of your episodes again, that there might be some unresolved obviously through divorce, anger there. But so I'm repeating generational anger. But have I already just...
Did you ruin your kids for life? Is that what you're...
Relationship, yeah.
Yeah. No, there's so much hope for you. I started this work when my oldest was, so he's 12 now, I think around 7. My oldest was around 7, 8 years old. That's when I started this work. That's when I learned about emotional wellness and emotional regulation. And I used to parent the traditional way, in a sense, like just, you know, spanking and just really rough and very like strict. I said so. This is the way we're going to do it. And it just did not feel good. And when I ended up going to counseling for parenting, I started to learn about connective parenting approach and emotional regulation. That's when I made a shift. And it took a little while to make that shift, but I started to notice that it would impact my kids and my family. So it is absolutely impossible for you to make changes in your life and for that not to impact your kids directly. It will impact. Your time is not lost. This is your chance to turn things around and break these patterns with your children. You have so much power and so much influence over your children, over what, by what you model, by what you say. So have you ever heard of this, like, saying that you are the 5 people that you spend the most time with?
Yep. Yeah.
So maybe you listen to a podcast, or like I listen to my coach's podcast and I'm in her coaching program, and I catch myself saying a lot of phrases that she says. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's a girlfriend that you, you know, maybe you remember as a teenager, you would have certain friends that you would hang out with, and then you would repeat phrases that they would say just because you spent enough time with them. And that's why, like, even spending with time with God is so important and valuable, because when we spend more time with Him, we become more like Him. When we surround ourselves with community of people that, let's say women that are also working on this type of work, we become more like them. When we surround ourselves with Christians and believers, we grow in becoming more like, because we're surrounded by those type of people. And so your kids, their brains and the way that they are wired, it's, you can cause so much influence, positive influence in their lives. You are not doomed. You can still change. I have that one of my moms that's in the coaching program. She's in her 50s. She's in her 50s. Her kids are grown, and one of her sons is like 12, the autistic son. That is, she's working with me because she's like, I still want to make changes. And in her relationship with her son, with her homeschooling son, where there's constant tension over and over and over again, that's why she joined my program. Within a few weeks, they started to notice massive transformation and changes in the way that, because she was more calm, she was more grounded, she was more centered. It is impossible for that not to transfer on your kids. Yes, they're still boys. Yes, they're still active. I have active boys. They are also loud and they have so much energy, and you still have so much impact. Even let's say you have, for example, maybe it's poor example with your ex-spouse, who, like, when they get escalated, it's really easy to get escalated with that too, right? Like, they say something hurtful, it's easy to like say hurtful things. But if one person stays calm, and even if they're getting escalated, your kids, they can only go so high because you're staying calm, and until they come down, because you're not going up and you're not matching that frustration, that anger, that yelling, right? And so you're still so capable of modeling that to them and to build your relationship with them. Things can get restored. And like, it's not even the work. God can restore that. God can do that. And I just want to encourage you that there's so much hope for you. There's so much hope for you.
Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome. Okay, I think Sam said, what is your suggestion for being triggered by noise? At the end of the day, I have 5 kids, so things can get very loud. So turning off notifications is huge. Like I told you on the phone, turning off notifications, getting off social media, and not even having it on your phone, because social media is very stimulating, and it's our tendency with, like, especially our phones and dopamine hits, that we just want to go on our phones to just escape. And that actually creates more stimulation instead of truly decompressing us. So that's one thing that you're going to notice, more capacity with overstimulation. Then what can I control? Because yes, your kids are maybe loud and running around. That's their energy. Maybe you can't control. Maybe you can turn off the TV. Maybe you can turn off the music. One of my sons, bless him, he loves, I don't know if you ever got my email with his playlist. Anybody listen to that? I sent like a link with his, he was like a minute and a half or 2 minutes, like silly playlist on Spotify. Was like all these songs that are super upbeat and hyper and like funny noises. He just loves that. And he loves to play it loud. And I will tell him like, hey, if you want to listen to that music, you can go to your room or you can put on headphones. If you have a basement, you can send your kids to the basement. So like, what can I do to help myself feel better right now? Ask yourself that question, because I'm overstimulated versus I feel overstimulated is two different things. You're not overstimulated, you feel overstimulated. And when you feel overstimulated, you ask yourself, what can I do about it? Can I close the door to the laundry room that's making a lot of noise? Can I turn off like the TV? Can I send my kids to the basement? Can I send my kids outside to go play in the backyard? Can I ask my husband to be with the kids for 5 minutes so I can go to my bedroom and just lay down on my bed with my eyes closed and take some deep breaths? Because for me, that helps me decompress a lot. Laying down actually with your feet up the wall is really good and calming to the nervous system. And like no stimulation at all, no phone, no nothing. Or stepping outside for 5 minutes. That can be also super helpful, especially now it's nice outside. Take some fresh deep breaths with fresh air. Look at the birds, just removing yourself from the stimulating environment. But proactively, in the morning, having some alone time, you lower your stress levels by doing that. And that increases your capacity throughout the day. The other thing is having quiet time in the afternoon. I don't know if you have that with your kids, but if you don't, definitely do it and create that quiet time routine where everybody needs some quiet time, either read books or play with the toys by yourself, quiet. And you use that time to do something that's calming to your nervous system. It could be read a book. It could be maybe fold laundry and listen to a podcast. Maybe it's just sit on the back porch and just quietly eat your lunch while you're watching the birds and just listening to worship music or something that's calming to your nervous system midday. Like for me, sometimes when I go pick up my kids from school, it's a 5 minute drive, but it's right after I'm done working here. So like at 2:30, I'm going to go and pick up my kids from school. I turn off my phone. I don't listen to anything on my phone. I don't listen to any music. I just drive in quiet. My daughter is in the car. Typically, she's maybe babbling to herself a little bit, but just quiet, no stimulation, creating a pocket of your day. How can I decompress and find a little bit of time to decompress midday when you start noticing that tension and build up to calm your nervous system? And so then you have a little bit more capacity later on in the day. Is that helpful for you? Yeah. Okay, good.
When you feel emotionally triggered, like there is something underlining and you have now recognized it and you cannot sit down and just express it, like journal it out or something, how can you like get through your kids screaming and arguing and playing around or just their energy levels? Is like, how do I get through that without getting, okay, now I'm upset?
Yeah. So it is tricky, right? Because our emotions need a little bit of time to process and release them in a healthy way. So this is where the mindset work comes in, like the proactive mindset shifts that I teach you, empowered mindset, like even with your kids, like being loud or fighting or having a meltdown. This isn't to upset me. This is going to pass. I can last 1 minute longer than they can. I have like a whole screensaver with a bunch of empowered mindset shifts. I get to do this. I choose to do this. This is something I can handle with God's help. I might as well just do this. This will only take a minute to do XYZ. Even though my kids are loud right now, I will like this one's a good one. Even though my kids are loud right now and I don't have the time to process, I will put my kids to bed a little bit earlier tonight or turn on a movie to them so I can have a little bit of time to myself. Like, have something that you can still, like, what's that word? Something that you can still do to help yourself feel empowered. Like if your husband is home asking him for help. I live in Florida. I can send my kids outside for the most part. My oldest one can watch my younger one. And I'd be like, hey, I'll pay you a few bucks if you watch her for the next 30 minutes. And so I can have a little bit of time to myself. The other day, I was feeling really frustrated. My husband wasn't home. And I was having a really poor attitude with my kids because I was feeling resentful and bitter towards my husband about something. It got to a point where if we stayed in the same house, we would probably say things that weren't helpful. And so he went for a drive and I felt really upset. And I'm like, well, this is not fair that I'm left with the kids and I have to do all these things and still all the chores around the house. And I told my kids, I said, hey, mom is having a really, really hard time right now. And I communicate that with my kids. I'm having a really hard time right now and I need your help. Obviously, my kids are a little bit older, 12, 9, 7, and 3. And so I'm going to put Nellie to sleep. I need you guys to get these chores done. And then once you're done, you can watch something. And then they did. They were thankfully really helpful because I expressed to them, I'm having a really hard time right now and I need your help. And this is what you can do to help me in a circumstance. And then once they already started watching a movie and the baby was down for the night, I actually went on a walk in the neighborhood. And my oldest one has a watch that he can call me from. And it's like just in the neighborhood. I went and I just prayed and processed my emotions as I was on the walk. And even though my husband wasn't home and we don't have any family that lives nearby. So like, what can I still do to help myself in the circumstance to help myself feel better? This is what's going on. What can I do to help myself feel better? And ask that question. How can I come up with something creative to help myself? Is it ideal? No, but I was still able to come up with an idea because that is what I needed. Do I want my kids to necessarily watch screens? No, but I knew that if I stayed with my kids, my negative attitude would affect them. And I was getting really, really frustrated and it was not going to end good if I continued to stay with my kids. I needed to remove myself and take a little break. So I'm not like, I use screen time really strategically, I would say. I do my best to limit it for like, I have my kids spend a lot of time outside, but I do use it in when moments are like this because it's either me getting escalated more because I already reached my capacity, or I have them watch for an hour while I take some time to myself and I feel so much better afterwards. So I hope that's helpful.
Actually, the same exact thing that you just said is what happened last night. Mm-hmm. I did redirect my kids. My older two is 13 and 16. He saw it before. He's like, mom, I see you're having a hard time. My oldest started on dinner. My 13-year-old took my 7-year-old outside. And then it was just my 4- and 5-year-old. And that's what it was, is it was a tiff I was having. I was upset with my husband because he sees the time of the day and he's still not home. And I was trying to flip myself. So what I did is I had the kids go outside to play. I had other kids go in the pool. So I did that. So I'm trying to flip. Like, yeah. And then when my husband came home, it actually irritated me more. He's like, oh, how can I help? I'm home. And I was just like, oh, you should have been home 30 minutes ago, you know? And then I stopped because I felt myself go into that negative thing. And then I woke up this morning and I felt like crud, but.
Yeah.
And this is something him and I have talked about. It's about his job. I'm just praying through this. I'm trying to.
Well, like, I don't also, know how to hit. Yeah, that is tricky. You know, our victim mentality or our negative mindsets, like this is going to make the evening hard. But the truth is probably he wants to come home. He wants to be helpful. He wants to be there with his family. And something came up at work, and this isn't to upset you. It's just happening. And what can you do to help yourself feel better? Like you, and you did some of those things. And sometimes we need to just like take a minute, like when our husband does come home. Like one of the things that I do is when my husband was on that drive and he was gone and I went on a walk, I vented to God and complained to him about what I felt.
You did that too.
Yes, I do that. And then I have like a pretend conversation with my husband because he's not there and I can just say whatever I want. And Yes. It can be mean if I want to, but it's not hurting anybody. So I release those negative emotions in a healthy way, in the sense like I'm not hurting anybody. And then I say, God, can you show me where I'm wrong? If I am wrong in the circumstance, can you please reveal it to me? Help me see things from a different perspective. And then I ask myself, how can I handle this situation that I am proud of? That later on, I can look back at the circumstance and be proud of the way that I handled it. Because I'm working intentionally at being lighthearted and playful and connective and warm and like Christ-like. So if this is who I'm choosing to be for my family, how would that type of Elizabeth respond in this circumstance? And how can I handle this situation when he comes home in a way that I'm proud of? Because if he comes home and I'm giving him a negative attitude and I'm raising my voice, that's not a way that I can look and reflect on and be proud of. And so I decided that I will not ignore him. I will just stay quiet and just not say anything snarky, because that's where I was getting to that point right before he left. I was saying things that weren't destructive. It was just unhelpful. Like, yeah, of course you said that, you know, that type of attitude. And it was just not helping. And so, and we both recognized that, and we needed to be separate. Otherwise it was just like the circumstance wouldn't go really well. And so he came back, he was feeling a little bit better and I was feeling a little bit better. And then he came up and he started to talk to me, hey, like what's going on? And I told him, I'm like, I really don't like the way I handled myself, you know, earlier. I'm like, that's not who I want to be. I want to respond in a different way. And so I was able to even like communicate that with him, but also like what helped me was to remove myself and go on a walk and process those emotions and reflect and be like, who do I want to be? How do I want to handle this when I return to this circumstance? How do I want to talk to my husband in a way that I am proud of, that I don't look back at and like, you know what? Like, I feel so much remorse by the way that I handled it. And I didn't. I'm glad that I didn't, because when he came back, we were able to talk normally and resolve it, because I chose to not say snarky things. I chose to invite God into the process and pray and ask him for support to say the right things. And so what I have found most helpful for him when you're in that type of state is to just remove yourself, to calm your mind, calm your brain, because if you don't, you will reach a point where you say and do hurtful things. Cause it's like you feel agitated, then you feel frustrated, then you feel angry, and then you feel rage. Mm-hmm. Like you need to be able to catch yourself. And that's what we work on in my coaching program, to catch yourself when you're getting that frustrated, agitated state. For me, that comes out in attitude. Well, if that's where I am, how can I help myself in that moment so I don't get to the rage? And rage is when you're screaming your head up and you're saying and doing hurtful things and you're physically, maybe even aggressive with your kids and I'm like hurtful. And so how can I stop myself and recognize it and help myself? Do I need to remove myself? Do I need to take a walk? Do I need to go do some push-ups? Do I need to go for a run? Do I need to go jump on the trampoline? What do I need to do to release that, or to just go sit in fresh air? Like, what do I need to do? Take a shower, like to calm my nervous system so I'm not reactive. Okay. I hope that's helpful for you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming. I really appreciate you being here. Thank you so much for listening to my podcast. And if you want to take it to the next step and get further support, I would be so happy to connect with you. And you can book a consultation call with me and enroll in my coaching program. And don't forget that you do get an extra 4 weeks of coaching together if that's something that God is calling you to do. And if not, you can also share my coaching program with a friend. If you know somebody in your life that needs support in this area, I would be very grateful if you share it with them.
Mama, if this is calling your name, I want to invite you to take the next step. I know you are creative, and I know that you can come up with the money. If God is calling you to do this, He will provide a way. He will open your husband's heart, and He will find a way for you to enroll. You get a whole extra month of coaching with me for free if you enroll before May 25th. I want to remind you that you are more important than baseball. You are more important than big birthday parties for your kids. You are more important. The tone you set in your home day in and day out is so much more important than those things. So I want to invite you to take the next step and enroll into my coaching. Use the link in the show notes to book a call.